But if you will, bow your head with me and pray for me. Pray with me as we get into God's Word, that God will just let His Word speak to us and help us tonight. Lord, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for all Your many blessings. And God, I thank You for this opportunity to be in Your house tonight, God. I thank You for this midweek service. Sometimes I know even myself tonight, my body is tired. I'm physically worn out right now. And God, I pray, Your Father, that You'll help me to put that out of my mind and help me, God, just to concentrate on my spiritual health and my spiritual well-being. Because, God, I always look forward to this midweek refuge that I have to come into Your house to meet with people who are like-minded, to meet with people who are trying to draw closer to God. And, God, for the ones that are watching with us on Facebook that are in that same circumstance, God, I want to thank You for that desire that we have, that we can try to draw closer to You and walk with You. And, God, I pray as some people are missing that fellowship, they're not able to come to church right now for different reasons, maybe through the pandemic or maybe through other physical conditions they got going on. God, I pray that You'll strengthen them. God, I pray that You'll just give them grace as this time goes on. God, I pray as we get into Your Word tonight, I pray that You'll just help us. God, I pray for all of the prayer requests. I know there's many on my heart and on my mind. There's a lot of sickness in our church, a lot of different things that we need You to touch in. And God, I pray for all those situations, knowing that You know the situation and You know how to work better than I can even ask of You tonight, God. And I pray that You'll just work in each and every one of these situations. God, I do pray that You'll take care of our teens. Put Your hand on them, God, and I pray that You will just light them on fire for You, God, that they will have that desire to live for You, God, that they will have a desire to help us, that sometimes get settled, that sometimes we set down a little bit, that they will come in and they will spur us, and that we'll all be in one mind, one accord, wanting to live a life that gives You glory and points someone else to the cross. God, we thank You for this time that You've given us tonight, and in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Daniel chapter number 4. We're going to begin reading in verse number 34, but just in case you weren't here with us in the sanctuary Sunday morning or watching us on Facebook, we were teaching about or preaching about Nebuchadnezzar on Sunday morning, and we went with the thought of it'll never be me, of how Nebuchadnezzar had everything under control, so he thought, that Nebuchadnezzar, he had his kingdom there established, and man, he'd done some wonderful things. And you can go back and read all of that, and I won't recover it all again tonight. But then how that God gave him a dream, and that how when God sent that dream, this dream was to get his attention about his pride and about his boastfulness, and that how the God that was giving him the warning of what was going to happen, and that how that dream came true. And as Daniel went and interpreted the dream and told him, look, king, here's what's going to happen. You're this great big tall tree. This tree is going to be cut down. And then inevitably, as we found out later on in the scripture on Sunday morning, that Nebuchadnezzar would live like an old cow for, the Bible says, 7 times. And I automatically take that and think of 7 years. So as we look at Nebuchadnezzar, here he has been living like a cow for 7 years. He's been out here. The Bible says that the dew's going to fall. You can go back and even read a physical description of what the Bible says that he's going to look like. He's out here eating grass. He's out here living like a cow in the middle of this time that he should be at the top of his game, that he was at a place that his kingdom was growing and he was doing all of these wonderful things. So let's continue reading in Daniel chapter number 4, verse 34. As we know that Nebuchadnezzar has been out here for 7 years, and let's see what happens. Let's see what his response is. Because you remember, as Daniel came and gave him the dream, that Nebuchadnezzar took 12 months really to give his answer to God. That Nebuchadnezzar had a time period that he could think about whether he was going to come down off his prideful mountain or not. And then at the end of that 12 months, he went right on with his pridefulness and his boastfulness, and that's what brought him to the situation he was in. So now at the end of that 7 years, or that 7 times, as the Bible says, here's where we find in verse number 34. The Bible says, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned to me. It's almost like he had lost his mind. And you can go back and even study about this, and I'm not going to try to say these disorders, if you will, that even in science now, they talk about people who actually go out and eat grass and live like beasts. And I can't pronounce them, so I'm not going to, but it's almost like he lost his mind and went into one of those disorders. And Nebuchadnezzar lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding, I came to myself. Mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. I don't think there should be any question about who Nebuchadnezzar is talking about here. Let's once again read the description that Nebuchadnezzar lays down. He said, I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. When you get to right there, you know who he's talking about right there. He's talking about God. He's been out here for 7 years, or again, as the Bible says, seven times. And now he's been living like a beast. He's been out here, and the Bible says that the dew will fall on him, or that he's been out in the weather, that he's been out there eating the grass, and now that is over. And you know, at the end of that, as I read this week again, as I read verse number 34, he almost had another choice that he could make here. At the end of this time, he could have either said, God, I can't believe you done this to me. God, I can't believe that I was on the top of my game, that I had my kingdom, that I had all of this going for me, and yet you drove me crazy. You drove me out here to eat grass and live like a beast. Or he had the choice to say, God, now I know who you are. Now that through this experience, now I know that you are the Most High. And I'm glad that Nebuchadnezzar took that road, and he said, here in the middle of verse number 34, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. You know what's sad is that Nebuchadnezzar couldn't find himself in this place without going through what he went through. That Nebuchadnezzar couldn't find himself when he was on the top of his game, when he was at the top of his kingdom, when all of this other wonderful stuff was happening in his life. Why couldn't he find himself in a time and a place there in his life that he would honor God, that he would give God glory, that he would give God praise? And as I look at this, I say, man, it's so sad that he had to go through what he went through in order to realize who God was. But I've been in that boat before. I've been there myself. There's been times in my life when everything was going good, and it should have been the time that I was saying, God, thank you for your blessings. God, thank you for pouring out your spiritual blessings on me. God, thank you for the physical blessings that you've put in my life. But instead, I began to be prideful, and I began to be boastful, and I began to say, look what I have done, and I get to the place where God has to take me down a notch in order for me to get to the place where I need to be spiritually. He says, I bless the Most High, and I praise and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. See, you notice that as King Nebuchadnezzar is coming to his senses, as he's went through this experience, and he says, I'm going to praise him whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, who will always, always be on top, and that is our God. Aren't you glad tonight that we don't have to worry about our God losing a battle? That we don't have to worry about our God ever having something come up against him that is too big for him? We don't ever have to worry about saying, oh no, something beat our God, because nothing will ever beat our God. Our God is the God of all. He spoke this whole world into existence. He is most powerful. He is most amazing. He is the God whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. As Nebuchadnezzar had seen his kingdom fall, as he had seen himself from the top of the world to out here eating grass, he's seen what can happen to his kingdom, but yet we know that our God's kingdom, that he is God of gods, he is the Lord of lords, that he is the King of kings, and that his kingdom is from generation to generation. As Nebuchadnezzar went through this 7 years, or this seven times, he then is able to come to that understanding. Verse number 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, that God can do whatever he wants to do. Absolutely, God can do whatever he wants to do. See, sometimes we struggle with that a little bit, don't we? Because sometimes we look and we say, well, if God can do anything that he wants to do, then why doesn't he do this? Or why doesn't he do that? Well, for one thing, something that I'm trying to get my mind wrapped around right now, and I'm having a lot of trouble with it, is it's amazing to me, and it's almost, I can't hardly understand it sometimes. As we look and we know that our God is most powerful, that God created me, that God's got his hand on me, that God knows where I'm at tomorrow, that God's got my whole life, he knows everything about me, but yet God allows me to be a man of free choice. I absolutely have 100% free choice to do anything I want to do. Now, wait just a minute. I'm a born-again child of God, so some of my choices are going to have consequences. All of my choices will have consequences. Some may be good, some may be bad. But all of my choices will have consequences, but trying to wrap my mind around that the God I serve knows everything about me, but yet he allows me to make choices in my life, just like he did Nebuchadnezzar. But I want you to know tonight that I think that makes it even more important that we try to draw close to God, that we try to walk in the ways that please him, that we try to live by his word so that my choices will line up with his word and his choices for my life. See, as we look at verse number 35 again, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Or none can control him. None can refrain him. That God can do absolutely anything he wants to do, but yet he gives us the power to make choices in our own life. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? See, I know a lot of times people talk about questioning God. And you know, there is a big difference between asking God a question and questioning God. I think this, I'm going to give you my opinion right here. I think it is absolutely okay when something is going on in your life to say, God, what are you doing and why are you doing it? I think it is absolutely 100% okay. Now, when we start saying, God, you don't know what you're doing, I've got a better answer, that's when you're questioning God in a way that I don't think we need to question God. Have I done that before? Sure, I have. Sure, I've been to the place where I thought, God, man, I know how this needs to be fixed. I don't know what you're doing, but I could give you the answer, God. We always have that answer, don't we? But we don't know what God's doing. And there is no reason for us to say, God, what are you doing? Now, other than to say, God, I'm in the middle of this. I don't know why you're doing what you're doing, and I don't know what you're doing. But God, if you'll help me to see, I'll do my best to grow through this. I'll do my best to be what you to get out of this what you want me to get into. See, the whole thing, the title that I wrote down at the top of my paper tonight, as I began to study for this and as I began to kind of lay out my outline tonight, I wonder if Nebuchadnezzar could look at verses 34 through 37 tonight, and if he would look at us and tell us this story and say, I want to tell you about the best worst thing that ever happened to me. This is the best, worst thing that's ever happened to me. Can you think of some really bad things that happened in your life that put you right where you needed to be? Sure. Sure, we all can. We can think of some things that happened in our life that maybe we were headed down a wrong road, or maybe we were somewhere that we didn't need to be, or maybe it was just God had something better for us, but he had to put us in a bad situation in order for us to realize that there was a better way than the way we were going. I wonder if Nebuchadnezzar would say, I want to tell you about the best, worst thing that ever happened to me, because I'm sure that it was horrible to fall from your kingdom all the way down to a beast. All the way down to eating grass. I'm sure that that was horrible for him. I'm sure that that was humiliating for him. I know that he did not enjoy losing his kingdom for that time period, that he didn't enjoy being brought low, or the embarrassment of being out there eating grass like an old beast, or having the physical change that he endured in his life, or being out in those. I know that he didn't enjoy that. But as he comes to the end of verse number 37, we got to read it before I can talk about it. Verse number 36, and at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I want you to look, like, we got to read that one more time, because you got to get a full grasp of what's going on. He's been out here in the field, eating like a beast, eating like grass. He now has come to his senses in verse number 34 and verse number 35. He now understands that God is the Most High, and he turns his attention unto God, and he says, I will praise him because his dominion is forever. And then in verse number 36, I want you to see what happens. Things started happening in his life. And he says, at the same time, my reason returned unto me. Listen, and for the glory of my kingdom. See, some good things is fixing to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. Mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. Now, these things start coming back in his life. These good things start happening in his life again. And you know, once again, he has a choice. Now he's been out here eating like a beast. He come to himself. He began to praise the Most High God. Things turned around in his life. Now we can go into the Old Testament and we can look at the children of Israel as they left Egypt. And we can see as they come out of Egypt how they had a spiritual roller coaster. God would do something amazing for them and they would just glorify God. He opened the Red Sea, and man, that was the most amazing thing that had ever happened. And as they get on the other side of the Red Sea, then one day they're hungry and they're murmuring and they're complaining. And then God feeds them with manna from the sky. And then God's the most wonderful thing again. And then they get out there and they're thirsty and they're murmuring and they're complaining. And then God gives them water from a rock. So on and so forth. Until they got this spiritual roller coaster going on. And it was like, when life is good, I'll praise God. And when it's not, I'm going to murmur and complain. And Nebuchadnezzar had that same opportunity right here. He was up on the top. He went to the bottom. He looked up and saw God. God brought him out of it. And now he is. Good things are starting to happen into his life again. But I want you to see, I think verse number 37 is probably the happiest time that Nebuchadnezzar ever had in his life. I believe right here in verse number 37, I believe that Nebuchadnezzar would look at us and say, this is the best, worst thing that ever happened to me. See, I thought I was doing something good, and I thought I had done a lot on my own. I thought I was really something until God did this to me. And then I want you to look in verse number 37, as in verse number 36, things started happening back in his life. And then verse number 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. I believe in verse number 37 is probably the happiest place that Nebuchadnezzar had ever been in his life. He now, the good things are happening in his life, and he's still saying, and I still praise God. I still lift him up. I still know that he is most high. I want to encourage us as Christians tonight. I know there's a lot of bad things going on in our world, in our nation, but I want you to know something. In our lives individually, if we'll really look at what God is doing, we can say that God has truly blessed our lives. I know that each and every one of us, we have our own troubles, we have our own trials, we have our own burdens, but really and truly, if we'll look down deep, we know that God is being good to us and that God is blessing our lives. I want to encourage us not to take that for granted or to look at it as something that we've done in our lives, but yet be the happiest that you could ever be. Live the life that God is blessing you with. Live, if God's given you an abundant life, and we know that he has, if spiritually, if nothing else, but also if God's given you the abundant life here with blessings, that physical blessings here on this earth, just remember to return that thanks and lift him up. Because I believe in verse number 37 is where Nebuchadnezzar would say, this is the best, worst thing that ever happened to me. Because of this bad thing that happened in his life, he realized who God was. He realized that it wasn't all about him. He realized that there was a higher power, that there was someone who was bigger than him, that there was someone who had control over him. And in verse 37, as those things begin to happen in his life again, he is still giving glory unto God, and he's also got the good things that's being restored into his life. See, the thing of it is as we go through this life, as we go through the things that we go through, sometimes they are bad things, sometimes, but you know, if there's something that happens in our life that brings us closer to God, it could very well be the very best, worst thing that ever happened to you. If you can think of your life, because let's just be truthful. Some of us, I was fortunate that I grew up in a pastor's home. I heard about Jesus from the day that I was born. Didn't know nothing about it, but I heard about 9 months before I was born. I told y'all before, I was in church. So I was fortunate to be brought up in that situation. And at a young age, I trusted Christ as my Savior. But even that night that I realized that I was lost, I was in a bad place. But let's look at some other situations. Some of y'all tonight might be sitting here in the sanctuary, might be listening on Facebook, and you look back and you say, man, there's been some really bad things have happened in my life. There's been some really bad circumstances and some really bad situations, and man, I wish that that hadn't happened in my life. And I know there's some pain and there's some scars and some things there that may just come up from time to time and really hurt. I understand that. But if those things that happened in your life, maybe even by your own choice, but if they pointed you to God and brought you closer to God, then the only thing I can tell you is thank God for them, grow by them, and go on. Don't get hung up in them. Don't get hung up in those things, because sometimes we concentrate so much on the battles that we have been through. We concentrate so much on, man, I went through this, and I went through that, and I went through this, and this was terrible, and this was awful, and I just didn't think. We focus more on the battle than remembering the victory that God gave us as we come out of that battle. We forget about those little victories. And Nebuchadnezzar here, he has a brief victory, I guess, if you will. He is there, and now he knows who God is, and he has acknowledged God, and now he's back in his kingdom acknowledging God. See, there's nothing in this world that is worth our spiritual health. There is nothing that this world can offer us that is more important than our spiritual health. Mark chapter number 9. I'm going to turn over there real quick. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 42. Living a life that's close to God is more important than anything that we could ever have. And if there's anything that's offending us from being there, listen, as Nebuchadnezzar might be thinking, this is the best worst thing that ever happened to me. See, his pride was offending him. His pride was keeping him from being close to God. I want you to look what the Bible says in Mark chapter number 9. And I know this is talking about offending little ones, and I'm not trying to take this out of context. I just want you to see how important it is not to let anything in this world get to where it's holding you back from God. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 42. The Bible says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. For it is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. For it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If there's something that's keeping us from living for God, from drawing closer to God, from recognizing God in our life, look, I think it's pretty plain here. I mean, when you start talking about cutting your foot off and plucking out your eye, that's pretty serious business, ain't it? I mean, that's just not like saying, well, I think I'll quit drinking Kool-Aid. I mean, that's not one of them things. My dad told me of a story of a young man that he grew up with, and every time he got in trouble, his mama would come out there and say, now look, if you say that one more time, I'm going to wash your mouth out with Kool-Aid. Well, guess what? That didn't help one bit, not at all. The little boy loved Kool-Aid, and he just kept drinking the Kool-Aid. So it's not like just saying, well, I don't want to drink Kool-Aid. But the Bible tells us if there's something that stands between us, if it's offending us from being what God wants us to be, you know what else the Bible says? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? See, if we get to the place that anything is offending us from being where we're supposed to be with God or acknowledging God in our lives, and you say, well, preacher, I don't know why in the world you're preaching on this tonight. We're here on a Wednesday night. We're all wore out just like you are. We're physically tired, and we've put forth the effort to be in God's house. I agree. Hey, your Wednesday night crowd is the backbone of your church. I'll just go ahead and say it, and I know that we have some watching on Facebook tonight that would be just religious to be, I hate the word religious, I can't think of the word I'm trying to use tonight, faithful, there you go, would be just as faithful to be here tonight if they could without this pandemic and everything going on. But I really believe that the Wednesday night crowd is the backbone of your church. There's a lot of people that have to work on Wednesday night, and here I am having to give disclaimers after I just said that. But so your Wednesday night crowd, I know that y'all want to walk close to God. I know you desire to be with God. But if we would be honest, each and every one of us still have to battle it from time to time. We have to battle out here in this world. The Bible talks about our flesh and our spirit battling, and what a battle it is. It is a tremendous battle every single day. And it don't even have to be looking at stuff that we shouldn't be looking at, doing things that we shouldn't be doing. Just battling your flesh every single day is a battle. So what we have to do, first of all, put on the whole armor of God and be ready for that battle. Okay? We got to be ready for it. But then also, don't put yourself in a place and bring the battle to yourself. Don't get to drifting out there where you shouldn't be. I don't need to be out there where I shouldn't be. And that way I don't have that temptation coming at me. I'll share one more little, a story that my brother gave me when Autumn and I were dating. Man, what great advice it was. He told me one time, he said, Josh, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I know you love Autumn. He said, I know you're crazy about her. He said, I can see you light up when she comes around. I said, yeah, I can. And he said, I know what that leads to in a teenage boy, because I was 15, 16 years old. I said, yep, you do. You've been there too. He said, let me just tell you something. Temptation without opportunity is harmless. You may be tempted to something, but if you don't have an opportunity to act on that, then you're not going to do it. Okay? And I looked at him kind of weird for just a minute. He said, in other words, when the fire gets too hot, go to Walmart. Go do something else. He said, get with a bunch of people. Get the opportunity out of there. I hope I'm not embarrassing my wife right now, because she's still just as hot today as she was then. But he said, when that temptation that's there, you know what? And it goes even deeper than that as we grow in our Christian lives. If there's something that gives you trouble, don't put yourself in the middle of that, because his second sentence to me was, opportunity without temptation will still lead to failure in a lot of situations. And I was like, well, what do you mean by that? He said, you hang out with the wrong people. You put yourself in places that you shouldn't be, and you'll fall. You'll fail. He said, so don't do those two things. And he said, life will be a whole lot better for you. And that's my prayer. Is as I go through my life and I go, hey, there's been some bad things that have happened in my life. There's been some bad things that have happened in your life. Grow from them. Acknowledge God in them. Sometimes we may even need to stop and say, God, I want to thank you for that battle, because that battle is what helped me to acknowledge you in my life. But then there's also times that you just got to say, you know what, God? I got through that battle. I want to thank you for the victory. Now I'm going to go on, and I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to glorify you, and I'm going to use my life that you've given me for your glory. So King Nebuchadnezzar, the best worst thing that ever happened to him. You may have a best worst thing that ever happened to you, but if it made you look unto God, be thankful for it. Trust him. It's going to be okay. When it's all said and done, you know what? I'm looking forward to the day. I don't want to get into a bunch of prophecy tonight. I don't want to get into Revelations tonight, so I'm not going to. But look around, listen for just a minute. Things are coming together for us to go home. Things are coming together. Listen, when I get to talking about them with my children, when I get to talking about them with my wife, look, maybe I'm not as spiritual as I need to be. I'll go ahead and admit that to you. But there's a little bit of it that's scary. Does anybody else fall in that boat that you think about it and you go, man, this is a little bit scary, what's going on right now? To where if we really understood what's fixing to happen, we'd be saying, Lord Jesus, come now. You know, that's what we'd really be thinking. But as we look at it and we see it happening and we think it's a little bit scary because this life is all that we know, listen, as we continue to go through this thing, I don't think it's going to be long until the church goes home. Every single day, we're one day closer. Every single moment, we're one moment closer. And I don't believe it's going to be long until the church is up and out of here. And I don't know what kind of pandemic they're going to call that, but I'm wanting to be in the presence of God, and it ain't going to make a difference to me, just to be honest with you. But while I'm still here and able to think about it, I've got some loved ones who are lost. I've got some friends who are lost. And we all need people living real Christian lives in front of them that maybe they'll come to know Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. That's my prayer. God, help me live my life in a way that somebody else will see Jesus in me. That God, you can use our church in some way that lost people will come to know Jesus Christ. That's my prayer. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I pray to your Father, Lord, I know I've done just a really mixed up job of teaching this lesson tonight. But God, I'm thankful for your word and the way that it can speak to our hearts. And God, I know that it's not me and the way that I present stuff, but it is the power of your word that speaks to people's hearts, the Holy Spirit that takes the word and works with it. God, I want to thank you for that's living in our lives. But as we look at that, I do know that there's some bad things that may have happened in our life that strengthened us in you, that maybe even brought us to you. God, I want to thank you for those things. But God, help us now that we're through that even when things happen, that we'll always know and we'll always acknowledge you that will always lift you up. Help us to live a life that will help others to see Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that you will comfort Christian people. God, we know we've all been told since the time that we were saved, the first time that we've heard revelation, the first time that we've heard that prophecy preached that you've given us in your word. God, we know the time is drawing nigh. God, I know we're closer than we've ever been before. And God, I see some things going into place that I feel like it won't be long until the church goes home. God, help us to have, I know we have questions, but God, help us to also realize that we can be excited about that, that we can have joy in that, knowing that we are going to be in your presence. God, for our lost loved ones, help them to see their need for a Savior. Help us to live a life that will allow them to see that in us. God, thank you for this church and what it means to me. Help us to always be exactly what you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.